returning to Psalm 18, and you have in your bulletins verses 4 to 8, and I will read verses 4 to 8, but there's actually quite a bit in verse 4, and I think it's good for us. We haven't been in Proverbs in a few weeks, so just focus on verse 4, but we'll read verses 4 to 8 so that you can see how they're connected, and then we'll come back to them in a couple of weeks, Lord willing. So we're just looking at verse 4, but I want you to see that verse 4 is connected to verse 8 by these words, the words of. The words of a man's mouth in verse 4, the words of a talebearer in verse 8. There is a connection here, but there's so much in verse 4. Verse 4, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. It is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. The precious word of the living and the true God. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters. That first phrase has challenged people who are trying to interpret this proverb. Because the last part of the verse speaks of the wellspring of wisdom. And so it appears to many that it is speaking of wisdom in both parts of the verse. It is speaking of the depth, the profound depth of the words of a man's mouth when he is wise. Certainly we can see how this points to the Lord Jesus Christ. His wisdom was far deeper than the people around him understood, even his own disciples. In addition, people that have this interpretation say that you don't have the word but after the comma. In Hebrew, it's a certain word that can be translated, but it's a contrast. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, but the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. So how can the first part of the verse be negative in nature when there's a connection between the two? But you see, that's not how Hebrew poetry works. And there's much more in this verse than we might think. It's speaking of two ways that water is presented to us. Water that is deep is not possible to see through. The wellspring of wisdom, the flowing brook, brings forth water and provides it forth. There is a contrast between these two parts of the verse, and that's an important part of understanding what it means. Because the first part of the verse, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, is speaking of the way that our speech actually conceals things about ourselves. We were singing of that when we were singing of from Psalm 64. The enemies of God, the cunning heart that's plotting injustice. Psalm 64 and verse 6 said, they search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. Both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. If the enemies of God have this depth of their heart. There's also a teaching in Scripture that speaks of that in regard to our inability to see the depths of our hearts ourselves. We already saw that in Psalm 139 when we were reading through it. It is God who knows us completely. It is God who searches our hearts, because there are depths of our hearts that conceal very bad things. Jesus makes it clear as he says in Mark 7:21, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. What if your heart is like a really deep well that you can't see all the way down to the bottom, but somewhere down there is something extremely bad? Like an evil monster, like sludge, but it's defined in terms that we understand here by Jesus Christ. Evil thoughts. Covetousness. Wanting someone, something that someone else has, so badly that it alters your worship. That's covetousness. Which the Apostle Paul writes as idolatry. And all of that is down at the bottom of this well that is your heart. If the verse is talking about that, which I think it is, then we see a radical contrast between that kind of water and the water that is a flowing brook, a wellspring of wisdom. It's important that we realize that what the wellspring of wisdom, the flowing brook, is speaking of is that kind of speech which is open and clear and available. This heat wave that we're experiencing here, been experiencing in other parts of the world. There was a man in Turkey. He was trying to get some work done. It was an extremely hot day, like the ones that we've been hearing about here or in the UK. And so he was washing off the top of his car with a hose. There's a video of this online, but a pigeon comes along and just kind of looks at him as if the pigeon needs help. And he realized that the pigeon was extremely, extremely overheated. And he had the water available. He had the water, it was clearly available, and the pigeon needed it. So he poured some of the water into the pigeon's mouth, and the pigeon began to revive. And then the pigeon just kind of sat there, stunned a little bit, and he began to pour some of the water on the pigeon's feathers. All of a sudden, this pigeon that was helpless and in need became revived and was able to fly away. On an extremely hot day. That's what wisdom is like. Wisdom that provides for people open and clear speech. Proverbs 8, verses 6 to 9 puts it this way. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Wisdom flows forth, and specifically in our speech. That's why if we went on to verse 8, we would see the contrast between what's in verse 4 and the kinds of perverse speech that is mentioned in the following verses. But you see, there's so much here for us. Wisdom flows forth, open and clear and available speech. And that's important because this understanding of this verse is very similar to what we read in Proverbs 20, verse 5, where the Word of God says this, Proverbs 20, verse 5 says, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Again, we have this idea of the plans, the agenda, the intents of people being like deep water. But it takes wisdom to draw it out. Jesus has already drawn out some of the water, and he showed us what it was like in Mark 7. That water needs to be replaced. And you know who's able to replace it. That pigeon on the car that was so overheated needed water. This man had water just bubbling out of his hose. All he needed to do was provide that water for the pigeon. The pigeon was so disoriented that at first the pigeon didn't know he needed a bath as well as to take in the water. But the man provided the water. And you see, that's how Jesus works for us. That's how Jesus helps us. We have in our hearts deep, terrible things. And those deep and terrible things need to be replaced. And Jesus is like this bubbling hose that is continually pouring forth wisdom in order to replace those evil things, to draw out the counsel that's in our heart, to draw it out through his own wisdom. And we need that kind of encouragement. Because you see, deep down, we realize that there are times in our life when we are like those deep waters. We do or say something, and all of a sudden, we get to this thought, that's not me. What am I saying? What am I doing? That's evil. That's wicked. I can't believe I said that. And if you're like me, you have someone else who reminds you of that. And you begin to understand. Each one of us has the Holy Spirit, though. Each one of us has the Holy Spirit to remind us, to show us those times when we are in need of that water that comes from Jesus Christ. The water that replaces the evil of our hearts. In the Bible, deep waters is a poetic metaphor. It's something that actually shows that there's danger ahead. The psalmist in Psalm 69, verse 2 says, I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 23, the writer says, all this I tested by wisdom, saying, I resolve to be wise. Seems like a good motivation. But it was beyond me, he writes. What exists is out of reach and very deep. Who can fathom it? The writer of Ecclesiastes understands that there is something beyond our ability to grasp. Hidden in the waters that are our souls, our hearts. Hidden in the midst of who we are. And the problem is that when we begin to get a sense of that, our first impulse is to not want to show ourselves. Actually, keep that all in. It's inside a well, it's very deep down there. Don't look there. Or perhaps we intentionally steer people in a direction away from the depths of who we are so that they can't look there. We end up hiding. And we hide because we know what Jesus has said, that within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. If people knew what was actually inside of us. They would be afraid. They might be confused. Maybe inside of us is that kind of heart that is plotting injustice, like Psalm 64, verse 6 says. They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. Both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. What's the answer? What's the answer? Because we know that the Bible, specifically in the book of Proverbs, has told us again and again that our mouths are to be a source of benefit to other people. Proverbs 10:11 says, "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked." A well of life, that's what we're supposed to be like. But maybe on the inside, there are deep and very dangerous things. Dangerous things, dangerous motives that we don't really want to explore. And you see, this is where this water imagery here in this verse and in the book of Proverbs points us directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus comes up to this woman in John chapter 4, this woman who had a life that she thought was carefully concealed. And Jesus begins to talk to her. Jesus is talking to her and he begins to unpack for her what she's like. He's asking for a drink from the well, but it's as if he has dipped down into the well of her life. In her heart, and he's pulled out stuff that she's not proud of. And this woman begins to be amazed. But the way that the Lord Jesus Christ has spoken to this woman gives her a sense of wanting to know what Jesus Christ has to offer. Because before he dipped down into the well of her life, the Lord Jesus Christ said something about himself. Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 10, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." But a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's what he says to her. And then he unpacks for her what her life is really like. She says she has no husband, and he says, "You've had five, and the one that you're with is not your husband now." And she says, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." He understands something about her life because this is the embodiment of Psalm 139. The God-man standing before her knows her life. And yet he's the same one that is saying, I have water to give you that will make inside of you a well of water springing up to eternal life. What is Jesus talking about? By the time we get to chapter 7 of the Gospel of John, we find out where it says in verse 37, in the last day of that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of, here's the important part, the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. How is it that the Bible can say that the words of our mouth are as deep waters, hidden, nasty stuff that we want to conceal, a dangerous place, and at the same time say the wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook? It's because the connection, you see, to that wellspring of wisdom, the way that you develop words that are actually wise and good is by the presence of Jesus Christ given to you by the Spirit. Given so that God might actually clean up the inside of your deep, dangerous, dark heart. So that he might make you into a wellspring of wisdom. Someone who is able to provide openly access to the wisdom of God. I mean, this man in Turkey, he didn't know that this pigeon was going to land on his car. And he might have anticipated, because it was such a hot day, that the pigeon would be extremely hot. But the idea that the pigeon would look at him, as if to say, there's water there. I could use some of that water. The pigeon didn't say that. But it was obvious to the man. Because he was made in the image of God. Because he understood that this was a creature in need. Because he understood the heat. He understood how water works. He understood how water works in his life. And you see, this is what happens to us spiritually. When the Spirit begins to clean out the ugly stuff that's inside of us and make us into a flowing brook. We become like that water hose. And what we really would like is for someone to come along and just look at us like, wow, that looks like life to me. That looks like a wisdom that I need. This kind of wisdom, this wellspring of wisdom, this flowing brook is accessible. Just like this man's garden hose, which he was holding out over his car. He thought he was washing his car that day. He was saving the life of one of God's creatures. And maybe, just maybe, you and I, as we make this transition, as the Spirit enables us, as we begin to grow in wisdom that comes from Jesus Christ, we move away from concealing our ugliness to actually growing to have fresh water to give to someone else. It can only happen through Jesus. Because, brothers and sisters, you cannot look inside that well and see down to the depths. You cannot see how desperately wicked you really are. Jeremiah 17, Verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. If you know anything about God's reward, the righteousness, you might tremble at those words until you remember that the fruit that God is looking for is the fruit that he provides by means of the Holy Spirit. What does it look like to be in a situation where people are just not willing to talk about the ugliness that's in their heart? When you do see glimpses of it, you're kind of afraid. What does it look like to be like that guy in Turkey with the water hose giving a drink to the pigeon? It looks like displaying the fruit of the Holy Spirit in the midst of such situations. This is what wisdom looks like. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. It's very easy if you read the fifth chapter of Galatians to see the contrast between the fruit of the Spirit and those works of the flesh that are in the verses before and right after those verses that I just read. It's not only vainglory, it's also things like Jesus mentioned in Mark 7. But focus for just a second on the wonder of what has happened. If our hearts are evil, dangerous, ugly places, like a deep well with a monster inside, with sludge, with disgusting stuff inside, that we don't want to show anybody. And the Spirit is about the business of replacing that water with the things that are from God. That's a massive thing. I mean, how could you replace all that water? You'd have to pour fresh water into it for a long time. But what if someone was willing to go straight down into that water? Dive right down into it, through the monsters, through the sludge, all the way to the bottom, to pull the plug. And what if God said, that's the work of Jesus Christ for you? Now you start with this well. And he pours fresh water into it. Water that begins to overflow because there's a channel created for a brook. And your life is now like that. The work of Jesus Christ is a work of assuming on your behalf all of the ugliness of your deep, dangerous, wicked heart, and to provide for you a fresh source of wisdom and fruit in the lives of other people. That's the gospel.